Parshas Pinchas opens with the story of Pinchas being roundly condemned for what he did. And God himself defending Pinchas and saying he did the right thing. Zimri was a sinner. And in order to save the rest of the Jewish people, affirmative action had to be taken. This is a nuanced and wide-ranging discussion, and it is beyond the purview of this morning. After this raging epidemic, where many people died, the Jewish people are counted, and a variety of reasons is given. One of them, Rashi tells us, is that just as when Moshe Rabbeinu received his flock some 40 years earlier, he received them by number, we know how many there was, so it is also now Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving, is so to speak, giving the flock away, and it's going to be by number.
Okay.
So let's talk about the numbers, and that's where the second reading for Parshas Pinchas begins. Chapter 26, verse 5, Reuven b'chor Yisrael. Reuven, the firstborn of the Jewish people, b'nei Reuven chanoich, mishpachas ha-chanoichi. The children of Reuven are chanoich. That was a child. So one of the children of Reuven, whose name was chanoich, he essentially established a family. And because his name was chanoich, the family became known as ha-chanoichi. And then there was Lefalu, and he had Mishpachas HaPalui. So there's two questions that you may want to ask here. First of all, if we're counting the numbers, why are we mentioning the names of the families? What relevance is that? This is about numbers. Numbers in, numbers out. 40 years later, we have to know how many sheep there are, and so we're talking about numbers. But instead, we don't have just numbers. We have families, family names. Why? So the Ramban says, because this counting was also, and perhaps primarily, because we're preparing to divide the land of Israel. And we're going to hear about the division. We're going to hear about the special lots that are drawn and the way which family will go where, because the tribes were also broken into families and everybody got ancestral homelands or portions of the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, Ramban says, slightly disagreeing with Rashi as to what the primary reason and purpose of this counting is, he says it's about Chalukas Ha'aretz, it's about division of the land, and as so, it's important that families be mentioned. So the interesting thing is that with regard to Reuven's family and Shimon's family, and later on Zvulun, we have this hay business. Hachanachi, Hafalui. That's it. Only these three tribes. So the Chizkuni, he says the following. Reuven and Shimon had an extra hay, which hay is a letter from Hashem's name, to kind of mollify them, pacify them, because they had received an inordinate amount of, shall we call it, criticism and corrective activities, corrective action. So Reuven had mixed into his father's private affairs, and his children are still suffering the consequences. And Shimon just had a situation with Zimri, where a prince of Israel was killed, and a massive amount of the tribe was decimated. So they're also feeling kind of forlorn. So the Chizkuni says, and what's with Zvulun? what did he do wrong? What happened there? He says, Zvulun's going to live in Yafo. And their job will be to ride the high seas. When you go on the high seas, it's always danger. That's why you make a gomel, as we learned this past Friday. And because they're on the high seas, and because they're in danger, because they're always traveling, that's why Hashem put his name, to provide a sense of special protection. After all, we're going to be talking about the division of the land of Israel. And it's Zvulun is going to live on the sandy, coastal plain, which today is very expensive real estate. Everybody wants to live in Tel Aviv on the beach, but once upon a time it wasn't like that. That was the land you couldn't plant anything. Everybody else got beautiful fields and fertile areas, and Zvulun got a sandy beach, you can't plant anything on. They wasn't so happy. At any rate, the counting now continues. Verse 6, Lechetzroin, Mishpachas HaChetzroini. For Chetzroin, we have the Chetzroini family. Lecharmi, Mishpachas HaKarmi. Eilu Mishpachas HaReuveni. These are the families of Reuvenites. Vayiyu Fekudeyam. And so the countings were Shalosha V'arboyim Elef, 43,000. Sheva Meas, 700. V'shalishim and 30. Let's take a look in Rashi now. Rashi says, why do we have the emphasis of the hey and the yud on the beginning and end of the name? If it's the Mishpachas Chanoich, it should call it Mishpachas Chanoich. Why is HaChanoichi? And followers, HaPalui. So Rashi says that the reason that each family is mentioned twice. Reuven b'chay Yisrael, b'nei Reuven, Chanoich. And then we say, Mishpachas HaChanoichi. Lefalu, Mishpachas HaPalui. Lechetzrein, Mishpachas HaChetzreini. Why don't you just say, b'nei Yisrael, B'chor Yisrael, pardon me, B'nei Reuven, Mishpachas HaChanoichi, Mishpachas HaPalui. Why do you have to first mention the name of the family? The name of the family is Chanoich. And then you add the words HaChanoichi. So Rashi says, this is because L'fi Shehoyu Ha'umais Mevazimaisim. Because the nations of the world were attacking the Jewish people, denigrating them, mocking them, shaming them. Oimrim, they said, Ma Elu Miyachsin Al Shiftehem. Look at this nation. They talk about their tribes, they talk about their lineage, they talk about where they come from. I'm from this tribe, you're from that tribe. So what are you talking about? How did they know who their father is? Sivurim Haim, Shalei Shalto Hamitzriim, Be'imoseim. You think that the Egyptians didn't control the women? They're all victims of rape. The whole thing is baloney. It's no Jewish people, it's no lineage over here. It's a hodgepodge of situations, that's all it is. In Begufa Maya Moishlim, if they were able to control the bodies, so Kavachim ibn Sheseim, sure they controlled their women and they did whatever they wanted. Hashem places his name upon them. And he says, Hey Mitzadzeh, the families are families, and they are exactly as they think and say they are. Their lineage is crystal clear and perfect. Only one terrible story happened in the entirety of the 210 years of Mitzrayim, and we know all about it. Shlamas Baz Divri. One story. That's it. Only one. Hashem puts a hey on this side and a yud on that side. Hey Mitzadzeh, the yud Mitzadzeh. Loimar, as if to say, Meid ani aleim. I, God alone, can bear testimony. Shem bnei aveseim, that they are actually the children of their parents, of their fathers. Vezel shem afurish hagdei David. This is also spoken of by King David in Psalm 122, where he says, Shivte yudke edus li Yisrael. The shvatim, the tribes of God, a testimony for Israel. In other words, yudkei, yudin hei, Hashem hazeh, this name, the name of God, which we call ka, meid aleihem, gives testimony, l'shivteihem, for their tribes. L'fichach, that's why, b'kulim kosov, hachanoichi, hapalui, but there's one exception. We get later to the tribe whose name is Yimna. Yimna already has a yud, and already has a hei. So Rashi says, Lehutzich Leimer, Leyimna, Mishpachas Hayimni, because Lefish Hashem Kavuabai. Because the name of Hashem is already affixed in his name. Because there's a Yud Bereish, Yimna, Yud in the beginning, and a Hey B'Sefer at the end. Okay, who were these people's children? Vnei Falu Eliyav. That's verse 8. Verse 9. Uvnei Eliyav, the children of Eliyav, Nemuel. Vidasan ve'avidom. Yep, I know exactly what you're thinking. Who dasan ve'avidom, says the Torah? They are the dasan ve'avidom. Kriye ha'eda, the people of note, noteworthy people, people who had even a leadership position. Asher hitzu al Moshe ve'al Aaron v'adas kerech. They incited the nation against Moshe. They seeded rebellion and sedition against the leaders of Am Yisrael, Moshe and Aaron, during the rebellion of Kerech Bahatsoisam al Hashem, when they seeded sedition and rebellion, ultimately, against Hashem himself. Asher Hitzu, Rashi says. Hitzu comes from the terminology of to inspire quarrel, to incite, to create all kinds of fights and quarrel. So now we know that from, because it says, when Dasan and Aviram were fighting, Moshe Rabbeinu saw them, it says, but he was shnei anashim nitzim. So nitzim comes from the word hitzu. It's not just inciting, it's inciting rebellion. It's a specific kind of inciting. Who did they incite? Es Yisrael, they incited Israel. What did they incite Israel about? Al Moshe, they rallied the people. Who did they rally them against? Against Moshe. That's why it says, Asher hitzu al Moshe. Now Rashi says, Bahatsoyisam, es ha'om, the nation, al Hashem, ultimately rallied them against God. Hitzu, Rashi says, on a technical level, how do you do it? How do you do the hitzu? He says, hisiyu. Hisiyu means that they sweet-talked, they coaxed, they used rabble-rousing words, as Yisrael, Lodri Val Meisha, to quarrel and fight with Meisha. Loshen hif'ilu. This comes from the word that they caused. They caused, not that they rebelled, but they seeded, they caused rebellion. And as a result of the rebellion, some very bad stuff happened, as you may well remember. What happened was, as we read in verse 10, Vatiftach ha'aretz espiha, the earth opened its mouth. Vativla isam, it swallowed them. Ve'eskoidach, and Korach, the Moisa Eda, when the nation died, a portion of the nation died, Ba'achol Ha'esh Esachamishim Umesayim Ish. When the fire consumed the 250 men who were there with fire pans bringing incense, they were swallowed. Vayil Anes, this was an extraordinary sign, something that made a huge impact. Rashi says, Vayil Anes, what does that mean? So the word nes here, he says, means an ot, a sign, a zikoron, a memorable, something memorable. That the punishment to Korach was extremely memorable, and it had a memorable effect. Laman ashala yikrav ishzor l'chalek oida la kahuna. Nobody after that bothered messing around with the kahuna and challenging the kahuna after a story like that. And the Torah says, in verse 11, Uvnei Korach, and the children of Korach, lo mesu, they did not die. This is how the family of Reuven ends. In verse 12 and onward, we go to the family of Shimon. Says Rashi, Uvnei Korach lo mesu, the children of Korach did not die, because the Torah speaks about Dasan and Avirim, those who did die. So now we're hearing of Uvnei Korach. Says Rashi, Heim hoyu be'etzat chilo. They are the architects, the originators of this. They didn't come along later. Their father said, hey guys, kids, I want you to come. I'm doing X, Y, Z. No, no, no. They were there from the very beginning. Says Rashi, Ubishas HaMachlekes. It was only at the time of the actual dispute. Forget that they were the architects. They inspired, they incited this whole business. In the middle of the thick of this dispute and rebellion, Hirharu Tshuva Belivam. A feeling of remorse and regret welled up in their hearts. Lefichach, therefore, nisbatzer lehem mokum gavoya b'gehinam. A high place was established for them in Gehinam, in the fires of hell, whatever that means, when the ground opened up to swallow them. V'yashvu sham, and there they sat. And they didn't get swallowed into the abyss like the rest of Korach and his people. And they were saved from certain death. And now they came back, and they emerged, and they're here to tell the rest of the story. So it's very interesting. That's how the counting of the Bnei Reuven end, by telling us the story of Korach's sons. So the Or HaChaim says that the reason that we attach the story, the mention of Dasan and Aviram, to the sons of Korach, is because the Dasan and Aviram involved their entire household. That was their greatest sin. They involved little children in this. Whereas Korach, he did not involve his family. It was the other way around. His family involved him. It's not like he told the kids to get involved. He called those grandchildren. We're going to have this fight. It was the other way around. And therefore, Korach was, in a sense, better, even though the rebellion has his name on it, was, in a sense, far better than Dasan and Aviram. And it also shows you the incredible impact of sin, as we learned in the Parshas Korach, when a person gets, even small children got involved tragically. Even small children were lost. Okay, but this needs to be better understood. And so, from the Chumash, I'm not going to direct you to the Biyurim book. We're going to go to page Kuf Chav Zayin. Miloshen Rashi, from the terminology that Rashi used that we just read a few moments ago, Heim hoyu be'etza tchila, they were the ones who came up with this idea. They were involved from the very beginning. They were the architects, if you will. Mashma, it seems, shebnei Korach loyrak hitstarfu lemachleikes sheparza. Not only did they participate in a dispute that had already unfolded, ela nimnu al yuzmeha, they were included on the ones who dreamed up this whole thing. It was their idea to begin with. Va'aleinu lahavin. This requires elucidation. Minayin lamed zeis Rashi. Where did Rashi get that from? And besides that, If Rashi has a source, why did he emphasize it here? Why are we revisiting this machlokes? What's the difference? Who was the architect? Who ignited this? Who incited this? Who cares? Right now the question is who was involved. It's not relevant anymore, the history of who started it, who followed it, who continued it. You're involved in the machlokes, you got swept up in it. End of story. Where did he get it from? And B, what does it have to do with Rashi's commentary on Parshas Pinchas? So the Rebbe says something incredible. Rashi quotes this in Parshas Pinchas in order to explain an implicit question, which we kind of touched on. And the question is, we are in the middle of counting the family of Reuven. We are not counting the family of Levi. Korach is a Levite. His children who survived were Levites. Their children, their grandchildren, became very prominent Levites. In fact, a great-great-grandchild became one of the most prominent Levites ever, Shmuel HaNavi. So this is an issue of a Levite family. And here, we're counting the Reuven families, especially as Ramban said, because this is about Chalukas HaAretz. This is about the division of the land, and the family of Korach, which are Levim, will not be receiving a portion of the land. So what are they doing here? You talk about Korach. Korach got swept up. I got that. Why even mention Korach? It's a really good question. The Mefarshim say, because Hashem wants to emphasize how bad their behavior was and that their chelik, their portion, was ultimately reabsorbed into other families. Nemuel's family took away the rest of what would have gone to Dathan and Avram. Okay, that's fine. But why Korach's sons? So the Rebbe says, that is the point. Because this pasuk is speaking about the children of Korach, which are from Shevet Levi, comes the obvious question: what's it doing in the middle of Reuven? Harei mekoymai is totally out of order. The place would be lechayder bepsukim shebahem akos of meines ameshpachas bnei Levi. When you talk about Levi, that's where Korach should be mentioned. Ubahen mishpachas hakarchi. When you get to the family of Karchi, believe it or not, Korach has a family that lasts, mishpachas hakarchi. So we get to mishpachas hakarchi, then we're going to talk about the details. And we actually do. We do that later. So I'm mentioning it now. Of what relevance is there after this? Al kach meishiv Rashi. This exact question, albeit unarticulated, but a question that's obvious. Rashi, therefore, responds before you had a chance to ask the question. And he says, Heim hoyu be'etza t'chila. They were there in the very beginning. They planted the seeds. They watered the seeds. They made this grow. They made this happen. It was their machlokes. They owned it. Hakosov mevikan esipurim shel b'nei Korach. The pasuk, the verse, the scripture quotes the story and the background and the history of the children of Korach. Kedei lahashvei seisam ledoson va'avirom, so that they will be understood in the same light as Datan and Aviram, who are the most rebellious Jews to step the face of the earth from the very beginning. When Moshe was a young man trying to help his brethren, who was giving him trouble? Datan va'aviram. When he gave a command about the manna, who went and made issues? Dasan va'aviram endlessly rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu. And the pasuk here wants to teach us. Shekshem shedasan va'aviram. Just like dasan va'aviram, leirak nimnu. They didn't go along. They didn't say, oh, you're having a rebellion. Count us in two. We don't like Moshe that much. Dasan va'aviram, everybody knows, were involved from the very beginning. Were there to be no Dasan Aviram, there would be no rebellion. And the point we're making is that the children of Korach, in this narrative, occupy a position similar to none other than Dasan and Aviram themselves. They're not just participants. They didn't just get swept up in the passion and fervor of this rebellion. Elohim, Haim, they are the ones, the very ones. Asher Hitzu al Moshe, they incited this fight. They created this situation. And they brought about the rebellion on Moshe v'Aaron b'das Korach. Kapirush Rashi, like Rashi says, Hisiyu es Yisrael lariv al Moshe. They advised. They came along and they said, what are you being silly for? We should do this. We should make this rebellion. So B'nai Korach, just as we say, Dasan and Aviram, went and told everybody, we should do this. And they were the ones who were sweet-talking and coaxing and kind of moving this along from the very beginning. People didn't participate by accident. Thus, they didn't push them to participate. That's why they participated. And Korach's children were right there with them. Hey, Mahayu Be'etza Tchila. They weren't Johnny-come-lates. They were there from the beginning. The Kach. So why is that so important for us to know? Why do we have to know that Korach's sons, not only were they involved in the Machlokes, but in fact, they were no less guilty than Dasan V'Aviram themselves. They were involved from the very beginning. Of what relevance is that? Just to make them look bad? Of course not. The Kach Melamdeinu HaKosov, in telling us this, the scripture teaches us the profoundest of lessons, and that is Godel Koicha Shal HaTshuva, the incredible power of Teshuva. Gam Kasher Meduber Ba'anoshim, even when we're speaking about people, not people who got swept up in the overflow. So people, there's an argument, there's a rebellion, there's always somebody who gets involved. Once it's happening already, oh, count me in too. Sure, I'll be part of that as well. We're talking about people, Shahoyu Be'etza Tchila. They were involved from the very beginning. Va'akosav Af Mashva Esam L'dasim Va'avidam. Not only were they involved from the very beginning, the Pasuk compares them, likens them. It puts them on equal footing with Dasan and Avidam themselves. Dasan and Avidam. The worst of the worst. The biggest rabble-rouser troublemaker. Yeah, that's what Korach's children were. And yet, despite the fact that they were so wicked, and they were Yiduim Berisham, they were known widely, it was widely publicized. This was no secret. Harei, Mirega Shehir Haru Tshuva, the moment they had a feeling, a sentiment, something in the heart, they never got up publicly and acknowledged us. They never said, we made a big mistake. Everybody forgive us. Just turn around. Don't do this machlekes. No, it was in their heart. And already, velu b'libam b'vad, only in their hearts. Nitzlu mimavas, they were saved from certain death. Velezu b'vad, not only were they saved from certain death, elisha zachu, they merited, like Rashi says in Parshas Kerech, sheyetzu mehem, who descended from these people, who made all the trouble, and in the last moment did tshuva, who descended? Sheyotzu mehem Shmuel, Samuel the prophet. Sheshakul, who is compared in equal sometimes, in some ways, a counterweight, an equal weight to Moshe and Aaron. That's who Shmuel was. The Chavdalad Mishmaris and 24 families or watchers that came out of the Levite family. Kulu Misnavim Beruach HaKadosh, all of them who prophesied with the Holy Spirit. And there are many psalms, many chapters of Tehillim that were composed by these tzaddikim. Do you know who these tzaddikim were? They were once the biggest Rishayim. They were once the worst of the worst. What does that teach us? Somebody can be the worst of the worst. He could be the one who rabble-rouses and incites argument and a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and ultimately against God himself. They didn't get swept up in it. They were the architects of it. They made this happen. They catalyzed it. And yet, tshuva only in the heart, and they were saved. They had a very strange event, a very strange life. They spent like 40 years in Gehenna, 40 years in hell, and then they suddenly emerged. I don't know what they looked like. They were blackened or roasted, but they came out. They survived. The point is, you could be the worst of the worst. Tshuva has an extraordinary power attached to it. And therefore, because Hashem wants to teach us about tshuva here, that's why Hashem in His Torah puts them specifically amidst the tribe of Reuven. So you understand how egregious their sins were, how terrible their sins were, how potent their evil was. And then when you understand how bad their sin is, and you understand how outstanding their wickedness was, then you could appreciate the extraordinary nature of the tshuva that they did, and how Hashem accepts it. An amazing thing happened for this family, all because of a moment of tshuva in the heart. And so, my friends, a moment of tshuva, a moment, can change the whole world.
They were from the Levites.